This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Goodness gracious.
He's the only man in history to win a race in a hot dog costume and break the news that Chris Jones is back with the Chiefs.
I'll get on that, coach.
Yeah, all right.
Here's Nate Taylor from The Athletic.
That's right. We do this one more time, and then it's time for Nate Taylor to disappear into the abyss. And this is presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. Nate, you didn't get any coffee spilled on you at the Super Bowl because of my co-host who spilled his entire cup of coffee all over Matt Derrick.
No. Thankfully, I got out of there just in time. But was definitely part of the cleanup crew. So, I don't know. Maybe that was a bad omen. Who knows?
That was the foreshadowing of the Super Bowl.
If that was the beginning, I mean, it was very, very
good. It was
good.
So great, too, because he was like, Matt, you look great. You've come a long way. I'm hearing about your story. You do good work. Here's a hot cup of coffee all over your laptop.
I know. I felt so bad.
And Matt Derrick, because he's so nice, is like, oh, it's no big deal. Had it been like two guys to your right, I would have got my head chewed off probably, yeah. Right?
Maybe. I don't know. But it was definitely... You know, we had just listened to Lift Every Voice and Sing, which sounded, you know, which was great. And then, you know, all of a sudden, it's an experience I'll never forget, Bob.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad I could give you something memorable from that game.
And then
Nate.
He doubled down and went and got that large boat of nuts.
That was a serving size. Yeah, it was perfect.
And spilt it all over Matt Derrick again.
I had a bad day.
They're not like us, Nate. He just all over.
Yeah. I mean, I look, I could have told you that should have been a foreshadow of what was to come for that day. What did you think of that guy, Ron Parker of Fox Sports, with maybe the dumbest take in the history of takes and in sports radio to say this is the dumbest take you've ever heard? That tells you how dumb it was.
Yeah, it's something that, I've known Rob for years, and I don't know. I mean, your theory might be right in terms of just trying to get some level of attention and traction, but this is not the way to do it, kids. Andy Reid is obviously going to be back next season. He should not retire based on one game. It's unfortunate that, you know, you have your worst game of the season on the biggest stage, but no. I mean, if that's the case, you can extend it to everybody on the team, honestly. It's something that I'd even try to wrap my mind around, which is just like, it's not just one position group. It's not one person. It's not one coach. It's not one player. Just about everybody takes the blame in terms of the offensive side of the football. And, you know, these are human beings on defense, and they can only do so much. That's a very good team. That's a worthy champion. Mm-hmm. And it was a, you know, I know everybody's going to say it was similar to, you know, the Tampa Bay loss, and I understand that, but man, that unraveled at a much faster rate than I remember being in Tampa Bay when, you know, Patrick and the team had opportunities or had more opportunities to sort of get back in the game. This was from start to finish and an absolute beatdown.
Yeah, Nate, I want to bring this up because I don't know if you've done this yet, but I know how well prepared you guys can be as writers to where, like, I feel like the Travis Kelce retirement article is half written. And maybe more of it is getting written day by day because we've all heard his comments of New Heights and the podcast. We talked to Clark Hunt during Radio Row session. He believed Kelce's coming back. Man, I hear those comments and it sounds a lot like I'm really, really, really thinking about one thing more than the other. And that one thing that I'm really thinking about is hanging him up.
Yeah, it's really sad, but this is the reality that he's now in, because when you lose a Super Bowl, kind of like the way they lost, and I want to be very clear, guys, if you think Patrick Mahomes was bad, do not watch the All-22 film of Travis Kelce. I have no idea why he was that bad. But he was awful. And when you lose in that fashion, and now you realize, man, my body's going to be another year older. Like, my body's going to have so much maintenance around it. Like, I'm hurting physically, emotionally. I know people have said it. I agree. He sounds very exhausted. And so the Chiefs are going to give him essentially a month. You know, they would like to know sometime by March 14th, 15th. You know, that's kind of like the deadline. I don't know if he wants to go out in particularly on that note, but I understand when your body, you know, he's gotten to the point now in his career where you may do everything right, training wise, practice wise, getting the right amount of treatment, mentally being clear. And if your body just doesn't respond, what are you supposed to do? And he's reached this point now where it's like, man, he was so good in that divisional round game that I said, wow, they've somehow masterfully done it again, where they've managed him through the course of the regular season. Can they ask him to do that again? Does he want to go through that again? And I know the thing that jumped out to me, fellas, is him acknowledging, which is true, this is a fact, he and Patrick have played more football than anybody else in the league when it comes to skill position and the burden of carrying an offense, obviously, two back-to-back championships and a third straight Super Bowl. So when even he's referencing, my God, I played a lot of football, how much do I have left? All you are to do is to say, okay, I got to dust off this copyright. I got to, like, you know, add some more records, add some more notes. He's had an illustrious career. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer, yada, yada, yada. But the Chiefs kind of desperately need him to come back one more season. That was the plan when he signed the new contract last offseason, was like, hey, you know, we're guaranteed to get one more probably great year out of you. Can we get one more good year in 2025? And if that doesn't happen, then that makes this offseason even more complicated for Andy Reid and Brett Veach.
Yeah, and Nate Taylor, I think it's going to be a wild offseason. I think there's going to be a lot of roster overhaul. I think we may see a Tyreek Hill type of trade, you know, where you trade somebody that nobody really expected from a fan base perspective to see moved on from. I think this is going to be a very, very active offseason with a lot of roster overhaul. What do you think?
Yeah, a third of the team is gone.
Yeah, right.
Pretty much. Is my understanding. A third of the team is just about gone.
And that's kind of like the life cycle in the NFL, though. A third of your team goes every year, you know?
Right. And now it's a question of, does it get to 40%? Does it get to like 45%? You know, they're going to value their draft picks this year because they don't have that many. I think they have, what, six?
Yeah.
So they're going to value their draft picks. There's going to be some level of, hey, can you add on to more resources? You know, how much is Clark Hunt willing to write a check? You know, that's the first major question I have is, All right, man, we all know how Patrick's contract is set up. You know, you cut him a check, you create more cap space. It's just a matter of how much of that check you want to write to him, you know, to get as much cap flexibility as you can this year while also trying to mitigate some of what you're going to do in 2026. I want to remind people that this is like a two-year thing now. This team tried to push as much of the chips all in as it could without sacrificing 2025 and 2026. Well, you came up short in the Super Bowl. So you did all you could in 2025. They need to get a lot more younger and dynamic on offense without necessarily sacrificing the defense's integrity. But yeah, it'll be fascinating to see like what happens to Nick Bolton, what happens to not only Trey Smith, who I think has probably played his last down as a Kansas City Chief, but what do you do with the left tackle situation? And that again doesn't even include, hey, by the way, like one of the greatest players in franchise history may have also just played his last game too.
So bringing up, if you're going to make some moves and to get something, you've got to give something. Are we sure that guys like Chris Jones didn't play their last game in Kansas City, or a guy like Trent McDuffie may not have played his last game in Kansas City?
Okay, now we're getting into some waters that I'm not sure I have all the information on. Here, let me tell you, everybody, they need to sign Trent McDuffie as fast as possible. Mm-hmm. I don't think you can trade Trent McDuffie. That would be... I think that would be unnecessary. Now you have to tell me what the trade conversation is and yada yada yada. Mm-hmm. But like he's your best young player on the roster, period. Like he's a back-to-back All Pro. Chris Jones, I wouldn't do it personally.
As hard as I could this offseason.
He's really good though. He's still really good, and he's more of the son to the. And I wrote this over the, you know, during the course of the season. Chris Jones is the son, and everything revolves around him on the Chiefs defense. And that includes Steve Spagnuolo, who schemes everything, obviously, around Chris Jones. I have no idea who's generating pass rush if you just take Chris Jones out of the lineup, you know, consistently. Again, I wouldn't do it. I know the contract is, what, 5 years? It's really like 3 years, based on my understanding of when it got signed. I wouldn't do it. I think the easiest path for the Chiefs to stay, you know, a contender in the Super Bowl towards next season is to keep as much of your defense as you can. You have Jaden Hicks for Justin Reed. If you sign Trent McDuffie, maybe you let Nick Bolton walk in free agency. You can obviously draft another linebacker if you choose to go that way, or get somebody relatively cheaper in free agency, a la Drew Tranquil. It's the offense that's probably going to take more time because there are no good solutions at left tackle. Now, if you say, well, look, why don't we trade Chris Jones for a bona fide left tackle? Well, now that's tricky, kids. It's really tricky. But the Chiefs defense can be consistent next year and close to what they were this past season. It might take the offense time, especially in regards to Kelce and how Rashee Rice comes back from his own injury, how quickly the offense can get back to elite level. The offense was functional because Patrick was, again, amazing, and he had Travis Kelce and a very good coaching staff, and they didn't play anybody nearly as good as the Eagles on defense. But, yeah, I wouldn't trade either one of them. I would sign McDuffie to a long-term extension now that he is eligible. And it's nice to have George Karloff this, but it's even better to have him and Chris Jones, because those two are still very, very good players.
So how do you suppose they take that next step? Because we know the Tyreek Hill trade opened things up, got you those draft picks, and you were able to get Trent McDuffie and do all that kind of stuff that you wanted to do to make your team better when you traded Tyreek Hill. Do you see a player like that we could potentially do? Like maybe Rashee Rice, and I'm just throwing out a name that has value where you could get something back, or you're not going to get something by trading Mike Dana, or you're not going to get something by trading Justin Watson. You always have to give something up. Is there somebody like that we could see a Tyreek Hill type of trade?
The only trade that would, I think the only trade that would make sizable difference, I won't say equal, but similar to the Tyreek Hill trade is Chris Jones.
Yeah.
Chris Jones is still 30. He's still very dominant. You know, you could get multiple draft picks for Chris Jones of value. I don't think there's anybody else on this roster who can necessarily generate that level of interest.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Rashee Rice is coming off an injury. And by the way, he's like perfect for your offense.
Yeah.
That was one of the things that was so, you know, devastating to the organization when he got hurt, was because they were trying to make him the legitimate number one receiver. So again, that Travis Kelce didn't have to take on more of the production burden in terms of the workload. Kids, it comes to, like, they have to draft well. There's no way around it. And by the way, you're drafting at 32,
right?
Outside of your one top pick, that's a third rounder that you got from the L'Jarius Sneed trade. Now you could say, hey, could you do another L'Jarius Sneed trade? Could you try to hedge it to some degree where you say, hey, if we don't trade Chris Jones, if we don't get, you know, the compensation we want, and we don't get the draft picks we want, could we do a L'Jarius Sneed trade? Well, then I guess you could think about McDuffie or George Karlaftis. I wouldn't. Those are homegrown players. Mm-hmm. They fit your system perfectly. All they know is the Super Bowl, by the way. So I wouldn't necessarily do it. But I know the Patriots made a career, a decade, of trading people earlier than people thought to keep this thing, as dominant as possible to create a two-decade window for Tom Brady. I don't know if the Chiefs are willing to do that just yet. But I do understand that every draft pick they have this upcoming April is extremely valuable. And you could argue perhaps more valuable than last year's draft because Kingsley Suamantia didn't work out. And all of a sudden, you're in the same predicament you were in 2021.
Nate, it's been a pleasure this season, man. We appreciate it. I know the end of the season was heartbreaking to you, and you follow the team more than just like the fans that sit there and watch you write about it. I know that ending wasn't the way you wanted it to go, but we look forward to many more years of doing these interviews with you on the radio. We appreciate the long time that these seasons are. Enjoy it, my man. Go take a long break. Put the typewriter down or the keyboard down. Just shut the laptop for the month. The hell with it's Friday. I know you got the draft coming up and football never sleeps.
This is the work time for Nate.
Find some time, man. Find some time.
I mean, you talk about Travis playing in all these games. How many more games have you had to cover and you didn't get January off, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah, I've done this job for almost 8 years now, fellas. I have never taken a January off.
Good. So let's keep that going.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's nice to include February as well. So thank you guys for obviously having me on. Hopefully can inform everybody, keep everybody, up to date on things. But yeah, I mean, it'll be a fun off season because again, just get it through your head. 30% of the team is gone.
Right.
And hopefully I'll be there to update you along the way.
Oh, you will be, Nate. We appreciate it. Take care. And
thanks, Nate.
And do your thing, man. We appreciate you.
All right. Thank you, guys.